Amen, amen. First of all, I want to give honor to our pastor who's away and thank him for entrusting me with the flock, because that's what he's done today. I don't take that lightly. Our pastor protects us. He protects who stands up here. And so I'm humble that, because he could have had anybody, but he chose me today. So I thank God for the opportunity. And I have been before the Lord, and I'm going to give it to you the way he told me to, the way he gave it to me. Amen. So hear ye, all rise, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High God, the first and the last, the bright and morning star, the Savior of the world, the blessed Holy Spirit, the church is now in session. When the court is called to order, there's a protocol that we must observe when we go to court, just regular court. If you've ever been there, no tobacco, no gum, and I'm guilty of gum, God bless me, thank you. No talking or unnecessary noise is permitted, which interferes with court proceedings. No person can take radio, tape recorder, computer, camera, cellular phone, pages, other electronic device in the courtroom unless the device is specifically required for the court proceeding. And they must receive prior approval of the bailiff of the court. And everybody rise when the judge enters the courtroom. And the bailiff tell them, judge coming in, get up. When the court is called to order, there is a pronouncement made to honor a man. How much more should we rise to honor the Most High God? Let us pray. So today, Father, we rise to honor you. We hail you, King Jesus. This building is your house. We are your house. And we invite you in to rule, to open our eyes, to fix our hearts, to correct us in any way we need to be corrected. Expand our vision and equip us to serve you with passion like never before. Father, we thank you in advance that you will render final judgment before we are dismissed today. And we will never be the same because of the decision that you render today on our behalf and our lives for your kingdom and the glory of God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Over the past months now, Pastor has been teaching and preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays about order in the church. And there is just scripture after scripture and example after example that he shares with us. And even if you organize, and I'm a fairly organized person, people who know me know that I have my list and my whatever, but I'm fairly organized. But one thing that I am learning through these messages, I got to kick it up another notch. I am not what I need to be. I need more order to please him more order just to be able to be in his will. And I hope everyone in here has been learning the same thing. See, we need physical, spiritual, and financial order in our life. And as children of the Most High God, we need to know who he has made us, that he also created foundational principles so that we can live in order. My first point of order, God loves us unconditionally. And Jeremiah 31:3, and I'm reading from the Amplified today. I'm in different versions. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared from of old to me, Israel, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you. God loves us unconditionally. To get the depth of what that means, I don't want us walking out here today without an understanding of how much he loves us. The songs have just been praise and worship excellent about how we love God, but do we comprehend how much he loves us? You know, we place a lot of value on how we feel, and we just have to be honest about what that feeling is. It's called walking in the flesh. God loves us. You don't have to believe it. That settles it. You know, there was a time people would say, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it, period. Whether you believe it or not, God loves you with an everlasting love. And if there is one person in the Bible, one character, that can really teach us about love, and I encourage you to just do a study of John the Apostle, because he knew how much Jesus loved him. And that's important. We need to know the depth of Jesus' love for us. John was the son of Zebedee, and he is noted as the youngest of the apostles. His brother was James, and he was also one of the apostles. And when people talk about John, they talk about him as John the Evangelist. They mention him John of Patmos, John the Elder, and the beloved disciple. The tradition of most church denominations have held that John the Apostle is the author of 5 books in the New Testament: the Gospel of John, the 3 Epistles, and Revelation. John was also known, in case you don't remember this, as the only disciple that was not martyred. He was the only one that lived a natural life and then was able to go home and be with the Lord. All of the others were martyred. And tradition has it that John, they attempted to kill him by boiling him in oil, and he would not die. He would not die. And so what they did after that attempt was they banished him to the Isle of Patmos. And that's where he received the revelation that we read today in the book of Revelation. So he loved God, but he knew how Jesus loved him. John never walked around saying, I love Jesus. And we ought to love Jesus. He is good. He has sacrificed so much for us. But we have got to comprehend how much he loves us. Because if we don't get that, we just miss it. Jesus loves you. And that, just that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus truly loves us. When you look at John, because he knew how Jesus loved him, he could lie. And you know, men don't do this. But he reclined on Jesus. He laid up on him. He knew. He said, I am loved. He laid up on him. You know, fellas, they shake a hand. Sometimes they might get a hug, but you don't see them leaning up on you. But John leaned up on Jesus. And he was so close to him. He knew Jesus loved him. That at the Last Supper, because he was leaning in his probably his normal position, just leaning up on Jesus. Then Peter asked him well, what would happen to the person who was going to betray him? And so John told Peter, you know. But John's knowing how much Jesus loved him, kept him in a place where he was so intimately acquainted with Jesus. And I don't know how you feel about your Jesus, but John, not only did he lay on the on his breath and on him, but he knew that love, and that love kept him. See, it's one thing, and we all say, yes, I love Jesus. And Peter was bold. He said, I'll die for you. I love you so much. But when the push came to the shove, I think some of you know what that means. Yeah. When Peter ran with the other 10, right? Well, with the other 9. Peter ran and fled. John was the lone disciple there because John knew how Jesus loved him. And nothing could come between that song, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing. Nothing prevented him. He did not flee. He did not run. As a matter of fact, he stood out. John was there at the foot of the cross. John was there to be able to take on the mantle. Jesus told John, this is your mother. Mother, behold your son. So Jesus knew that the person who was in intimate fellowship with him was the person most capable of loving his mother and taking care of her. He didn't say that to one of his brothers. No, he said that to John, the person who knew that kind of love. John also didn't even refer to him as, didn't refer to himself as a great lover. All he referred to himself as, I'm the beloved disciple. And a disciple is a follower. So I am so loved, and I'm going to follow him. So our love must keep us, but our love must take us into the throne room so that we can press in, yes, past the outer courts, yes, past what we see, yes, past what we feel, past what we think, to walk into that intimate relationship and to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be able to know that your presence is all I need. You are all I need. So John knew that. There is nothing that could take the love that Jesus had for him away. He knew that. So we need to shift our gear. Yeah, I love him. I love him with all my heart. I love him as much as I know how to love. But there is something greater. And he is the greater one. And he has loved me with an everlasting love. Before the sperm and egg came together, he loved me. When I am at my worst, he loves me. When I have messed up and think nobody could deal with me, he loves me. There is nothing, nothing that you can do that is going to take away that love. John knew that. And Lord God, give us the grace to know that. He commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You focus right now on the worst place you've been, on the worst mistake you've ever made. Focus on it just for a second. Think about it, your worst mess up. Now focus on his love that never stops when you were in your worst place. He knew it. He knew you would be there, and he still loved you. You know, there are some powerful gospel songs out here, but God sees the best in you. He sees the best in you, and there is nothing that you can do that's going to stop that. He sees the best in you. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 1 through 3, and I'm going to read this from the Message. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. The exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, the long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Come to order, church. Case settled. God loves you. God loves you. The second point, Jesus has already provided everything that we need for life and godliness. And that is 2 Peter 2, 3, and 4. And I'm going to read that from the Amplified. And in this covetous lust, greed, they will exploit you with false arguments. From of old, the sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction, eternal misery, has not been asleep. For God did not even spare angels that sin, but cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. That's, I have 2 Peter. Okay. And it says divine power. I think I have the wrong verse written down. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us an exceeding great and precious promise, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world. And that is how much he has provided for us. I will give you that correct verse. I have it written down wrong. But he has provided everything we need. The word of God is filled with promises of what God has provided for us. Full of promises. And that is first chapter, not the second chapter. It's 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. But he has given us great and precious promises. God has already given us his promises. He has promised us healing. If you want that, he's already provided it. God has promised us prosperity. it has already been provided. He has promised us joy and peace. He has already provided them. Whatever you need, just fill in the blank. You have it. We just need to possess it. All the promises that he has provided us by faith. He has provided everything, everything. And but the thing that we are missing the most as believers is knowledge and how to walk in the faith that he has already given us. He provided for our faith too. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith." So he gave you the faith so that you could get the promises. He gave us the faith. And it is by grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. You can't buy it. You can't do any penance for it. It is a gift. We have got to know what God's word says. If we are not aware of the promises of God, we perish. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need the revelation word. That knowledge through his word is only going to come through his word. And we have got to begin, no matter where we are on that process, we've got to begin reading it, hearing it, speaking it. That's the biggie, speaking it and meditating on it. Don't get trapped up in all the things that the woulda, coulda, shoulda. We have got to focus on the word. We've got to study it. We have got to know that this is the standard of truth. Culture changes. And what may be there today as a value, tomorrow could be gone. And coming up through a baby boomer generation, the value system in this country has changed much since I was born. But the other part is the truth has not changed. God's standard will always remain the same. And so that's why we have got to focus on his word. We've got to focus on time with him. We have got to meditate on the word. And Joshua, right after he took over leadership, and he was the one to lead the people into the promised land, Joshua had a commandment. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You are supposed to meditate on it day and night, not just day, not just before you go to bed, day and night, and all through the day, and to study the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And when we do that, we get to see who he is, who loves us. And we get a little closer to being able to just get a glimpse of what John must have sensed and felt in his heart as he walked from day to day. And we've got to read it. We've got to study it. We have got to speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 said that you have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, "I have believed, and therefore have I spoken." We too believe, and we must speak. We must speak truth, not fact. And there is a difference. Truth is the word of God. Fact changed from generation to generation. And if you are following politics, you have heard lots of facts. They even have a fact checker. You don't need a truth checker. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You ever heard anybody saying we need a truth checker for God's word? No. It's a standard. It is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It's something that we can depend on. See, God sees ahead, and he makes provision. And one of my favorite names of God is Jehovah Jireh. And we sing that song in here from time to time. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, when you think about it, it's God provides, God sees ahead. He's seen your whole life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before you were born, and what your end's going to be. And he provides. He knows everything that's going to happen to you in your life, everything that's going to happen to us. He has seen ahead, and he's already made provision. And that is who he is, and that is what he provides for us. So God is willing to do all we need him to do. He has made provision. There's nothing that you're going to ever come up against that God has not already have a provision. But we've got to be in the right place at the right time. What is that right place? In God's word, seeking his face, communing with him, resting on his breast, spiritually speaking, resting there. See, God provided, we see in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God provided a ram in the thicket for Abraham. When Abraham, he told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, because Isaac is the son of the promise, take him, and I want you to present him as an offering to me. What did that mean? That meant that he had to kill his only son, the son of the promise. But what did he do? Abraham went, and he was in the right place at the right time. And I can only imagine him saying, God, you said to me that this is the son of promise. God, you said to me that when Sarah was 90 and I was 100, God, you said that you would bless me. God, you said that my descendants would be like the stars of the sea. My descendants would be like the stars in the sky. God, you said, you better believe he was meditating something like that, because Abraham saw that even if he had to pull that knife down, that if God had to raise him up right then, he would. But Abraham was in the right place at the right time. When he walked up that mountain with Isaac, when he walked up there, and he went to the point where Isaac was on the altar, and he was ready to do whatever he needed to be faithful to God, that Abraham, when he was coming down, God said, hold your hand, stay. I have provided for you. There's the ram. But if we're not in the right place at the right time doing what he says, we miss out. If Abraham didn't go, where would we be? We have our faith through faithful Abraham. We are descendants, and we are engrafted in through faithful Abraham. That's our legacy. Are we missing out on God's provision because we are not in the right place at the right time? And I think of one other saint, and that was the prophet Elijah. Elijah is serving as a prophet during the time of a cruel king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. They had killed so many of the prophets, and the servant of Ahab had hid some in a cave and had fed them. But Elijah knew that his days were numbered if he was not in the right place. Just think about it. And Elijah went, and he was able to hear God tell him to go by the brook, because he didn't have normal diet. He didn't have a normal means for his food. The ravens, I think you call that still the bird of death. The ravens fed him bread. And when that tried, when he no longer had the raven to feed him, then he sent him to the woman at Zarephath. And when he got there, the woman was gathering sticks, getting ready to feed her last meal, to cook her last meal, so that she and her son could eat bread and die. She had two things, a little flour and a little oil. And when Elijah went there, not only did he bless himself by being obedient to God, he blessed that woman also. So when we're in the right place at the right time, hearing the word of God, being obedient, we not only get blessed, we bless others. Are you missing what God has in store, what he's already provided? There's no new thing he's going to provide. I just have to tell you that today. He's already done it. God is speaking all the time. He is speaking, but are we listening? Are we so busy with the cares and tares of this world that we don't hear him when he's saying something? I mean, even when I was preparing this word, I was driving and all of a sudden I heard the way I opened that Jesus said that to me. That just came through my spirit. I said, well, Lord, if you want me to do that, I'll do that. It's nothing new, but we've got to hear. We could get tied up in what is happening. We would be surprised sometime what we would hear if we would stop and listen. If we stop listening to the news, if we stop listening to the television, if we just stop listening even to 104.1 or whatever station, if we cut down YouTube, can you stand to be quiet? Can you stand to be quiet? Just you and Jesus, no music, no TV. Can you stand to be quiet before the Lord? We have got to begin listening more as he speaks. In Romans 8:16, it says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit. God is speaking. We've got to stop. Doesn't matter how the bill's going to get paid. Doesn't matter that you haven't cooked. Doesn't matter that you have to go shopping. Can you stop just for a moment and listen? I just think that we would go to another level as a church, another level as people, if we shut it down. You know, Pastor told us to shut it down. If we shut it down and start listening to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to overcome all of those distractions and plug into what he is saying. Just do what he tells you to do. In Luke 11, chapter 28, verse, Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." It is a huge key to receiving the provision God has for you. Begin today, whatever it is you are believing for, begin today believing God has already done it. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he is making intercession for us, but he is waiting on us to do something. And we're waiting on him. Amen. He's already done it. Amen. When are we going to receive what he has already done? Know his word. Listen to him and obey it. You have it. Whatever it is that you are seeking, whatever it is you want, everything you need for life and godliness, he has already provided. Already. And oftentimes, we spend time asking God and praying for what he has already provided. We need to change up instead of asking him. When we want something, this is what we need to start doing. I do it. We need to start doing it. If there's something that you want, check out his word. Is this something God has for me? Is this something he says I can have? If he says you can have it, and he's already provided for us, he is Jehovah Jireh, why are we, crying, the snot and everything running down our face? That's just, when we get desperate, we do it all. Just, why aren't we just saying, this is what his word says he has for me. And we've got to shift gears from asking to thanking him for his provision. God has already provided. We have got to do it. Ephesians 3:1 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God has blessed us. You have already been blessed. When you desire something, see yourself blessed. If you're in a place of needing God to meet a need, we've got to shift from, God, I want this, God, I want this, this. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, according to Philippians 4:19, you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. I thank you, Lord. Instead of asking him to heal you, you can go to Isaiah, you can go to Peter. It said, by his stripes, we were healed. If we were healed, then we are healed, and it's present tense. We have got to learn how to start thanking God. And while we are waiting, we've got to keep focused. My steps are still ordered by the Lord. Lord, I believe you. And one thing I want to encourage you to do, seek God's best. Because if we don't see exactly what God has for us, we miss out. And I'll speak for myself. I know I was going through a medical issue one time. So I prayed and I asked the Lord for a result to come in a certain way. You know, and I was in church, I think it was like the next Sunday or so, and here I am praising the Lord and lifting holy hands and just thanking him for being so good and telling him how much I love him. My results were in and it was what I prayed for, but the voice came right in my spirit. You could have had it all. You didn't ask me for the best. And that's why I said you've got to dig into the word to see what his best is for you. And he wants you to have that. He had already provided for my healing. But here I was asking, I'm not a little child. I am his child. I am the one he paid the price for. He's not trying to give me a little treat. He's made provisions for me. No, this is not a nickel or dime. He is the King of Kings. He is rich. He owns it all. And we are asking for so little sometime when he wants us to have so much. He said it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He did so much for us. He kept the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And what did he do? He gave us the key to the kingdom, and we still, oh my God, we are still there asking for so little. He is supplying our needs. He is ordering our steps. We have got to see we have already been blessed. Because, you know, when that light bulb came into me, I get upset now. If I hear somebody asking, they said, well, I want to ask God for this. I said, no, we can't. We've got to ask God for his best. And if you come to intercessory prayer, you might get that kind of reaction. Don't ask God for less than his best. We have got to ask him for his best. Because what's that song say? He has the best for me? No, he has the best for me. Nobody else has the best for you. I don't care how much they love you. I don't care how devoted they are to you. I don't care how loyal they are to you. God truly has the best for me. His provisions are real. And we've got to stay the course. And it doesn't mean that we do not have to battle through. We've got, if we stand, and after we've done all we can, we got to keep on standing, church. We have got to keep on standing. There is a battle going on in the spirit realm to get us any answer. And they sung my message, praise the Lord. They sung it, to God be the glory. There is a battle going on. When you look into the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, 11 through 13, and it says, and the angel, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and the angel said to me, O Daniel, you greatly beloved man, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for to you I am sent now. And while he was saying this to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind and heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come as a consequence of and in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I remained there with the king of Persia. There is a spiritual battle going on that you cannot see with your natural eyes. But the battle for every answer you got is going on. A battle. You don't just get these blessings. A battle is going on. Satan does not want you to get anything. But God has already provided. So if you feel that your manifestation, no matter what you have going through, have not been realized in the natural, I say to you, stand fast. We've got to stand fast like the Apostle Paul, noting, I might be in a difficult place right now. I haven't seen, I haven't realized, but his grace is still sufficient for me. And 1 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. Everything you need has already been provided. God says, he is already provided, already. You can provide for yourself, so get off the throne if that's where you are. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. My place is to line up with God. My place is to line up with the Word. My place is to watch him bring me out. Watch him get me the provisions. He owns it all. My place, your place, that's what we're supposed to be doing. He has already provided. And he even went so far, not just what you need. He said that those who delight in him, I'll even give you the desires of your heart. What are you wanting on top of that? That's better than dessert. Better than dessert. He will give you the desires of your heart. He give you what you need. But on top of that, he brings you down the desires. He knows what's in you. He knows what you want. He will give you the desires of your heart. Stand fast. Don't get up off of your praise. Don't get up off of your believing. Don't get up off of it. I call you to order. God has the best for you. Everything you need has already been provided. And I'll say this, walking it out in life is not always easy, but it's doable because we have a helper. Not only did he purchase us with his blood, but he gave us the blessed Holy Spirit. Oh my. And when we don't even know how to do it, or how to walk, or what to pray for, we need to pray in the Spirit, knowing that he brings us out. He brings us out every time. We must grow up spiritually. We've got to. We've got to. And this order in the church that Pastor's been just pouring out his heart to us about, it's all about his desire to see us grow up spiritually, kick it up to another level, be in God's presence more, praise him more, be in his will more, hear from him more. That's all it's about. It's about we need to be going, praising, pleasing, hearing, doing what he wants us to do. And when we do, nothing shall be impossible for us. I think back on in the book of Genesis, and they're getting ready to build a tower to reach heaven because they were on one accord. The Bible says in Genesis, let us go down. You see these people? They are on one accord, and nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And if he said that in the Old Testament, think about us now. We are new creation. We're in the New Testament believers. We have come through all of that. Christ has shed his blood. He is sitting at the right hand. Nothing shall be impossible. We've got to come into order. But I'm going to tell you this too, because we want to walk in the Spirit, but we've got to also realize that what is natural is first. What is natural is first. God created the world. He made the framework for the whole world. What is natural comes first. He made land and water. He made the sky. He made the sun, moon, and stars. He made it all before he brought Adam in. And Adam's job was to rule over it. His job was to take care of it. So we've got to take care of the natural. And we've got to walk that through. Because once we take care of the natural, you can't skip over the natural and be a super spiritual saint. So what does it mean to take care of the natural? Gut level honest. It means that we may need to make some changes. We've got to take care of these bodies. This is our earth suit. Our earth suit that we surrender when we go up. But we've got to take care of it. Means that we got to eat right. Means that we got to get enough rest. For those of us who are on go, 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 speaking to myself too, we've got to get enough rest. We have got to exercise. Amen, amen. And we need to do it at least 2.5 hours a week. Your choice of what that exercise is like. But you've got to take care of your earth suit. If you don't take care of your earth suit, then we submit ourselves to the toll of the earth taking us down with disease, with sickness. We have got to take care of these earth suit. We cannot live chaotic lives and expect to be spiritual giants. We just can't do it. We have got, God is a God of balance, but he wants the best for us. If it took him 6 days to organize this world before he brought Adam, and breathed into Adam at the breath of life, and he became a living soul, then we've got to do what it takes to take care of these bodies. Adam had to work. We have to work. And many of us look forward to retirement, but I'm here to tell you that retirement is not a biblical concept. Find it in the Bible. I challenge you to tell me that he told people they could retire. I know the priests could not serve after a certain age, but that didn't mean they got to retire because they still had to advise people. Their role changed. We are to occupy until he comes. Until he comes. We don't get to get down and retire. No such thing in the Bible. So stop looking forward to it. Look forward to occupying. Look forward to doing what God has called you to do. And when you retire, then look forward to, well, God, what can I do now? What is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? And some signposts, those are signposts on the road to success that we are doing what he wants us to do. Naturally, when we are eating a balanced diet, when we are exercising, when we are getting enough sleep, and if we are on meds, you know, sometimes I think believers get it mixed up, and we think that because we love God and we are saved, that we should not have to have medicine. I want you to know, medicine is not the devil's idea. He would sift you like wheat. He would rake you over coals. Any meds that exist is because God has anointed the mind of men, women, and given them such a vision to create meds so that it can help us even when we don't take care of ourselves. And all of creation is in travail. All of creation is, wrestling. All of creation is waiting for Christ to come back. So why do people get sick? All of creation is upside down. We live in the upside down kingdom of God. But we have the keys to the kingdom. He's already provided for us. He loves us unconditionally. And it's nothing we can do about it. Nothing but receive it. If we receive it, then we get to walk it out. And I stand amazed at how much God loves us. How much. And we need to get the picture, not just of what we feel, but what he does. He loves you with an everlasting love. Child, what they said, you are mine. Some of the gospel songs are just so on point. They have spent time, they have come through some things. But to know that you belong to him, John knew that. Nobody knew that better and walked it out in life better than John the Apostle. He is not a fictional character. And if you visit the old world, you will see John's Basilica and some of the things that he has done. God loves us. And John knew the depth. Because he loves me, I'm going to lean on his breath. Because he loves me, I can overcome no matter what. I can overcome dying when they try to kill me because he loves me. And my time is in his hand. Your time's in his hand because he loves us. God has loved us with an everlasting love, but God has provided for us. They'll know we are Christians by our love, but we've got to know we are Christians because he loves us. First things first, I am loved. I don't care what anybody think about me. I am loved. When we get the picture of how much we are loved and we teach it, and we're to teach it to our children and our grandchildren, when we get that picture, Nobody's going to be walking around with low self-esteem. The devil is a lie. Nobody will have it. Our children will not be the victim of bullying because they know who they are. When we get that picture and we teach it to the next generation, when we walk it out, I am love no matter what. I know my granddaughter said to me this morning, I love you. And you know what I told her? I love you more. So you think about all of the depth of love that you think you feel, the love you have. And I want you to know God loves you more. More than you can imagine. More than you can conceive. God loves us with an everlasting love. And he has already provided for us. On those two principles, we get to walk out this life. They'll know we are Christians because of our love, but we'll know we are Christians because we are love. And that love anchors us solidly. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I know what he's done for me. Yes, I love him, but I love him just because he is God. I love him when my answers don't seem to be coming. I still love him because I know he loves me. I know what he's done for me. And when we walk it out knowing the depth of his love, we can walk like John. We can walk and they can try to kill us with words or bullets, but it will not work because we are so connected that death cannot destroy us because of who we belong to. He loves us. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Child, you are mine, he says to each and every one of us. You belong to him. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty. Order in the church. Read the word. Study the word. Speak the word. Father, we come to you, Lord, as humbly as we know how. And Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. Oh God, many times we just can't even conceive of it. We can't comprehend the depth of love that you have for us. But, oh God, we are grateful. Lord, teach us how to walk and how to rest into that narrow place so that we can know, like the Apostle John, what love you have for us. And Lord God, that we can walk it out as the beloved disciple. And we can show love to others because we are yours. Yes. Bought by a price. Yes. Bought by a price. Yes. We dedicate ourselves to you, Lord. And Father, where we have been lacking and believing you, your great love and your great provision, God, right now we repent in the name of Jesus. And Father, we say from this day forward, we'll trust you. We'll rest in your love, oh God. We have your love, and that's enough to take us through the storm and to hard places, and if necessary, to death itself, because you have loved us with an everlasting love. We love you, but oh God, you first loved us, and you continue to love us, and you continue to woo us with your love. So Father, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. God, you're so good. God, you continue to be better to us than we know to be to ourselves because you've loved us with an everlasting love. We praise you, oh God. We honor you, and we give you all glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And right now, I can't take for granted that everybody knows that Jesus loves you. So if you have not surrendered your life and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the time is now. The time is now. If you are ready to make that commitment, I ask that you stand to your feet. This is no time to be shy. We serve a bold Jesus who loves us no matter what. So if there is one, I invite you to come up. If there is one who have not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Come. He has the best in mind for you. He knows you. He's already provided for you. And he'll take you every step of the way, every step of the journey. This is your beginning day if you have not made that commitment. Seeing that there is none, God bless you and order in the church. Amen.